Saturday morning and time for the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, every Saturday is yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the sport fans meet to replay all the big games. These are typical meetings of the Hot Stove League, and the host these winter Saturdays is the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice not only settles as many arguments as he can, but he also has a sports story for his friends. And so now join us here at the Sportsman's Club for another one of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice.
Hi, Granny. Well, Grant, we're coming up to the end of another sports year.
Yeah, and it's been quite a year.
Yes, it's been a very good year, Bill. Much more successful than I thought it would be. The quality of performance took a rather sharp dip, but the interest was just as great as ever.
I'll say, look at that down.
Every big sports event seems to draw better than ever.
No doubt about that, Jack. Take the Rose Bowl. It's already sold out for New Year's Day. 93,000.
Well.
And it's turned away another 50,000 applications. The Center Needle will open to 60 or 70,000, and the Sugar Bowl game is likely to draw another capacity of 72,000.
Well, they pack them in.
Yeah, all of them do.
Yes, even a second-rate performance will pack them in. I don't think it's a reflection on America's war effort, though. This country's always had a good, healthy interest in sports. And even the men in service are as much interested in sport news as ever before.
Well, how does next year look, Granny?
Well, 3 years ago, I expected all sports to decline, and they didn't. But one thing is certain about 1945.
Yeah, what's that, Grant?
Well, the way things are going in Europe and the Pacific, nothing else matters but winning the war.
Right, you are.
The first interest of everyone for us must be for victory.
That's right, Grant.
That goes for all of us, Grant.
Yes, but there's always a time out. And let's take a brief time out now for a sports yarn.
Yeah. Okay, what you got today?
Well, Stanley Frank, who writes sports for the New York Post, is the author of this one. It was first published in Collier's, and Stanley called it Second Wind. It's about Minnesota Thoggins, the big Swede tackle for the Giants, about a girl he met, and how he learned about football from her. But let's get the story straight from Thoggins himself.
I guess you know me. Oh, not that I think I amount to so much, but I was All-American at Minnesota. I've been playing tackle for the Giants for the last 5 years. Well, I'm quitting. Yeah, quitting to take a job as teacher and coach at a high school in a town you never heard of. That's a hot one, huh? Me, Minnesota Thorgans, teaching a lot of kids physical education and football. Well, I got through college, and I guess I can get by. But I don't kid myself. I'm strong as an ox and just about as smart. I guess Orson, you know, the Giants coach, thinks I'm a little nuts. Gave me a funny look when I told him I was quitting in the clubhouse a little while ago.
Now listen, Thorgins, I don't get it. Say it again, will you?
I'm through, coach. I'm turning in my suit.
But what for?
Well, I got a job. I'm going to teach and coach football at a high school out in Minnesota.
You? You're going to teach and coach at a high school?
I know it sounds funny, coach, but that's what I'm going to do.
I don't get it, Thorgins. No, I wouldn't kid you. You're not getting any younger. But you're good for two or three more years in pro football.
Yeah, I could get by, I guess. But my mind's made up, coach. I'm getting out now.
You sure you won't change your mind?
No, coach.
Well, okay, Thorgins. Sorry to lose you. Shay, you're a great tackle.
Thanks, coach. Thanks for everything. So long.
So long, fella. And I just hope you know what you're doing.
So long, coach. Yeah, I know what I'm doing, all right. I've got it all worked out with Hobie. And with a girl like Hobie Baker, you're sure about things. Who is Hobie Baker? Well, I'd never heard of her until one day one of the players on the team handed me a letter.
A letter for you, Minnesota? Smells nice.
It was after we'd played the Packers and they murdered us, especially me. Now, I was used to getting a few fan letters now and then, but this one was different.
Dear Mr. Thorgans, build a better mousetrap, and you will bait it, you big piece of cheese. Hobie Baker.
Hobie Baker didn't sound like a girl's name, but the letter was from a dame, all right. I couldn't figure it out, that crack about the mousetrap. The fact was that the Packers had mousetrapped me to death, you know, letting me break through the line, and then whacking me from the rear. But a mousetrap isn't easy to spot from up in the stands. I couldn't see how a dame could have seen it. Anyway, next week, I went pretty good against the Cardinals. The day after, there was another letter in the same handwriting.
Dear Mr. Thorgans, don't you know that Baskin of the Eagles telegraphs his punts by stepping off 4 paces after he breaks from the huddle? Hobie Baker.
The dame had something on the ball. Yeah, because next week when we played the Eagles, I watched Baskin the first time they had 4th down coming up in their own territory. And sure enough, he wheeled from the huddle, marched back 4 steps, and gave the ball a nice ride down the field. The Giants had to kick back, and we lost on the exchange. Then the Eagles huddled, and Baskin gave it the 1-2-3-4 business again. It didn't look like a punt. The line was spaced in a fancy spread formation. I looked around at our own backs and saw they were playing it tight defensively. A quick kick would have made us look silly. So I decided to take a chance and break through that loose line. I knew I was silly to let myself in for a sucker play, but the dame had been right before. And Baskin was telegraphing a punt again, according to her. The ball was snapped back, and then...
Oh, look, Joe, it's going to be a kick.
And look, Thorgan's blocked a kick, and he's running with the ball.
Look at him
go!
Go,
go, go on!
Yeah, I broke through, blocked the kick, recovered the ball, and ran 20 yards for the first touchdown I'd scored in 5 years with the Giants. She'd been right, this Hobie Baker, whoever she was. Back at the hotel, I got out the blue envelope and studied it again. Then I looked in the telephone book. There wasn't any Hobie Baker listed, but there was an H. Baker up on West 114th Street near Columbia University. The next thing I knew, I was standing out in front of the address, wondering what had come over me.
Hello there, Minnesota. You looking for me?
I thought I might run into her, and I figured she'd recognize me, being a football fan as she was. I thought she'd be maybe some sour-looking old doll who talked my arm off. But this girl who just talked to me was out of an ad for mink coats. I just looked at her and gulped.
Well?
Well, I guess you're... I don't know. I just happened to be passing by.
I'm Hobie Baker, Minnesota. I thought you might be around.
I just wanted to say thanks for that touchdown you tipped me off to yesterday.
Oh, that's nice of you, Minnesota. Well, now that you're here, would you like to come up and have a cup of coffee? I haven't talked football for ages.
Well, thanks, but I don't like
Oh, no trouble at all, Minnesota. Right this way. I'm on the first floor here. Well, this is it. Now just make yourself comfortable, Minnesota, and I'll put on some coffee.
I sat down and looked around. It was a nice little place she had. I felt kind of funny. I didn't want to be sitting there when some Mr. Baker walked in. So, when she came back with the coffee...
Here we are, Minnesota.
Thanks. You live... I mean, are you, is this your,
I'm a bachelor girl, Minnesota. No husband.
Oh. Say, this is good coffee.
Thanks.
Miss Baker, how do you know so much about football? You had that guy Baskin figured out perfect. How come?
Well... it's this way, Minnesota. My father was a football nut.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm, really. After my mother and me, football was his main interest in life. I was watching football before I could walk, and I grew up talking football.
Do you write to all the guys on the Giants?
No. I've just written to you.
Yeah? Well, why me, Miss Baker? How'd you happen to write to me?
Well, I'll tell you, Minnesota... You see, you happened to be the last great player my father saw before he died.
Oh.
Took me to all the way to Minnesota to see you play. That was in your junior year. He'd heard so much about you that he made a special trip just to see you.
Gee, who'd we play that day?
Northwestern.
Oh, yeah, we won 21-13. I remember. I was good that day.
Yes, you were good. You were so good that my father was thinking of putting you on his second all-time team when he died. Spent most of his time dreaming up all-time teams, new plays, All-Americans. Yes, he thought you were terrific. I guess that accounts for my special interest in you.
Yeah?
Yep. I guess I'm kind of a football nut myself.
That's swell. I mean, I'm glad you're interested in... Well, no, it's not like that, but... Miss Baker, would you have dinner with me tonight?
Why, sure, Minnesota. Why not?
Well, that's how I met her and took her to dinner. But that dinner wasn't the last one. Taking Hobie Baker to dinner got to be a kind of habit with me. She'd wait for me after the game. We'd go to a little joint where they had a 75-cent blue plate, and maybe we'd take in a movie afterwards. It was swell. And although we didn't make any formal speeches about it, it wasn't any secret that Hobie Baker was my girl. And more than that, my severest critic. When I had a bad day at the Polo Grounds, Hobie didn't mind telling me about it. That's what I was looking forward to this Sunday afternoon. It turned out to be a pretty important afternoon in my life. I came out of the stadium and met Hobie as usual. Hello there, sugar.
Hello, Minnesota.
Where we eat?
Oh, doesn't make any difference.
What's the matter, kid? You down?
Maybe.
Let's get a cab.
Oh, what's the matter with a subway?
Not this evening. You need a lift. It's a cab and a $2 dinner for you. Hey, cab. Cab. In you go, Hobie.
Look, it's a waste of money.
Sure. 63rd and Park, driver.
Okay, sir.
Well, I took her to a place where they changed the tablecloth for every meal. And the dinner was good. I saw Hobie had something on her mind. So I kidded around during dinner. When the coffee came, I figured it was time to talk the thing out.
Will there be anything else, sir?
Hobie?
Hmm? No, nothing for me.
That'll be all.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Hobie, I guess I looked pretty bad out there this afternoon.
Yep, you did.
Well, say, I couldn't have looked that bad after all.
Minnesota.
Yeah? What is it, sugar?
Minnesota, would you quit pro football next season?
Quit? Me quit football? Am I looking that bad? Don't you think I'm earning my dough anymore?
It's not that, Minnesota. Of course you're earning what they pay you. You're still a fine tackle. But I remember the time you could handle the whole side of the line all by yourself. Well, you can't do that now. Next year, the college boys will be playing you even, and after that, they'll start pushing you around. I wouldn't like that.
Afraid I'll get hurt, baby?
Oh, the scars wouldn't show on you. Big, beautiful Hulk.
No.
No, it's not that, Minnesota. It's not the chance of you getting hurt physically. They'll cut you up inside. They'll leave you punch drunk emotionally. You're the strongest guy in the world, Minnesota, but, well, inside you're gentle and sweet and you play clean.
Oh.
And when they start to push you around, you'll try to get by on your strength and, well, you'll get one of these physical tough guy complexes. That's what I don't want to see.
Well, what can I do? This is the only racket I know. What can I do for meat and potatoes?
Now listen, Minnesota. You've got a college degree. You could get a job teaching and coaching at some high school.
Me? Coach? Oh, listen, Hobie, I'd be a lousy coach. I'm not a smart guy.
You'd be a wonderful coach, Minnesota. The kids would love you. You could teach them the fundamentals, and that's all you need in high school.
Now, wait a minute, kid. There's something more in this than you're telling me. What is it? You getting fed up on football? I thought you came from a long line of football nuts.
That's the trouble, Minnesota. You see, I like football so much, I want everyone to remember you as I think of you. As the best tackle in the game. Yes, that's what makes me a football nut. But there's another side to it, too, Minnesota. You see, every time I look at you, I see an enlarged picture of my father.
What's wrong with that? I thought you were so crazy about your father.
He was a swell guy. But Dad never grew up. Football left him breathless all his life. You might even say emotionally, he never got his second wind.
I guess I'm dumb, but I don't get it.
Minnesota, listen. Dad lived in a dream world that was marked off like a gridiron. Things might have been different if he'd weighed 20 pounds more. He might have made the team at Princeton. And then football would have been a reality instead of just an illusion that he chased all his life. You see?
Was that bad?
Worse. When the crash wiped him out in 29, he hardly noticed it. He was more worried about Princeton going through the worst season in its history.
Well, with me, it's not that bad.
Football was my father's life. And mother's death. Mother had the grip the day of the big game at Princeton, but she didn't want to keep Dad home, so she went to the game. Pneumonia and died.
That was tough.
And years later, well, Dad got to celebrating after a big game and drove into a telephone pole.
Gee. The game has given you a raw deal, kid. It's a wonder you have anything to do with it.
Maybe I figure football owes me something, Minnesota.
All right, baby. Say the word and I'll quit tomorrow.
No, I don't want it that way. I want you to tell me when you're ready to quit. I don't want you to think back on what might have been the way Father did. Now, I know football gives you a lift, but Minnesota, when it stops doing that, tell me. You'll be the first to know.
But that may take 2 or 3 years.
All right, I'll wait. But you've got to be on the level with yourself. You see, don't try to please me. Convince yourself.
You trust me that much?
Listen, Minnesota. You know how I tipped you off to that touchdown play? Okay, I'll be your personal scout.
You'll be what?
I'll scout every game for you. Now, I know football, and I got some swell binoculars. Let's see now. You play Cleveland next Sunday.
But listen, baby.
Last time the Giants played Cleveland, Kozlinski, their end, played rings around you, didn't they?
Yeah, he did.
All right. Now, Cleveland plays in Brooklyn Tuesday night. We'll scout that game and see what makes this Mr. Kozlinski tick. You see what he's doing, Minnesota?
How can I see from up here in the second tier?
It's simple. This Kozlinski gives away the plays by the position of his feet. Now, when he's going to put a block on the tackle, he crouches with his right foot back to get an angle on you.
Yeah?
Sure. And when the play calls for him to go out to the right for a pass, the big lug pushes off the left foot. Now, if he's going straight ahead to cover a kick or block a halfback, he's got his feet together. You got that straight now, Minnesota?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it, Hobie.
Will you look at that guy Thorgins, Joe? What's got into him?
Yeah, he's playing this guy Kozlinski right off his feet.
Attaboy, Thorgins. Stay in there, boy.
Now get this, Minnesota.
Yeah?
Here's the setup on Detroit. Callahan is a cinch to figure in the backfield. Now, when he scratches his ear, it's a dead giveaway.
Thorgins has stopped Callahan every time he's run with the ball. See, that Swede's playing over his head.
Listen, Thorgins smarter than some people give him credit for. Come on, Thorgins boy!
You want to see my charts on Pittsburgh, Minnesota? Or would you rather have more coffee?
Might as well look at them, I guess.
Hmm? Well, aren't you interested?
Oh, sure, I'm interested. Why not? I'm the new sensation, ain't I? Go ahead, Hobie. Tell me what I do this week.
Okay. Now, here's what I got on their T formation and end around. Minnesota, you keep your eye on this guy, Fulton. You see?
And Fulton is stopped dead in his tracks. He didn't gain an inch. He was stopped by Thorgins. It was Thorgins again, ladies and gentlemen. And what a game the big fellow's been playing the last few weeks. I don't know what's come over him, but from where I sit, he looks like a cinch for all league tackle.
That's right. I was being touted for all league tackle. Oh, I'd made it before, but nobody figured that I was going to make it again. Not at this late date. Especially not Orson, the Giants' coach.
Hey, Thorgins, wait a minute.
Hmm? Oh, hello, coach.
Thorgins, I just want to tell you that you've been playing the greatest game of your life out there. What are you doing to yourself, kid? Taking vitamins or something?
Oh, nothing like that, coach. I guess I'm just getting the breaks, that's all.
Yeah, whatever it is, keep it up, boy. Right now, you're the best tackle I've ever seen. Stay in there, boy.
It was great stuff. The sports writers knocking themselves out, telling everybody what a great guy I was. The fans yelling for me. Even Orson, a hard-boiled guy, telling me I was the greatest tackle he'd ever seen. I'd have been swell. But what would the fans have said if they'd known that it wasn't really me pulling off these great plays? It was a girl, a football nut named Hobie Baker. Hello, Hobie.
Hiya, champ. Come in.
Yeah.
Here, let me take your coat now.
Yeah.
Okay. Minnesota, wait until you hear what I've got to tell you.
Yeah?
I learned plenty about those Washington Redskins. Plenty.
You did?
Just wait until you see what I dug up about those boys. Listen, I missed my vocation. I should have been a spy. Mata Hari Baker. That's me.
Mata Hari Baker,
mm-hmm.
Huh?
Now, hold your hat, Minnesota. This is money in the bank. Now, the guy you've got to watch is Mallory whenever the Redskins have the ball. Now, when they're going to pass, Mallory gives the whole thing away by...
Wait a minute, Hobie.
What?
I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it?
No.
Well, what's the matter?
Listen, baby, next Sunday against the Redskins, I want to be strictly on my own, see? I don't want to know what this guy Mallory does. Let me find out for myself, see?
Find out for yourself.
Well, I'll try to find out, Hobie, but I want to be on my own. They used to call me dumb. Now they're calling me smart. But it's not me, Hobie.
Of course it's you, Minnesota.
No, it's you, Hobie. You tipping me off to these guys. I'm as dumb as ever.
But you're not, Minnesota. Of course you're not.
Listen, honey, I'm a big boy now. I better start acting my age. I'll go up against those Redskins on my own.
But, Minnesota, I've got all the dope right here. Okay. I get it, Minnesota. You go out on your own. Go in there and fight.
The Polo Grounds was a sellout that Sunday. I was felt good when I trotted out there on the field and dug up a few divots with my cleats. I looked up in the stands and tried to spot Hobie, but of course I couldn't in that mob, so I waved in the general direction of where she usually sat. The crowd thought I was grandstanding, I guess, because they yelled back at me. I was their pet. I was the guy who outsmarted the other guy. If they only knew how smart I was today, with no information from Hobie Baker.
All right now, fellas, all right, gather around. Now, just this last word. Let's get in there and fight every inch of the way. We can take these skins if we're on our toes.
Oh, Orson, I'd like to ask you something. Will you come over here?
Yeah? What is this, Hawkins?
I want to ask you a favor. I want you to leave me in there today. No breathing spells, unless I'm real lousy.
Listen, I'm not worried about you, Thorgans. You keep on like you've been going, and you'll be doing all right. I won't take you out if that's the way you want it.
Thanks, Coach.
All right now, man. Let's get on out there. Come on. Let's
okay,
go.
Coach,
let's go.
As we lined up, my eyes went for Mallory. Mallory, the halfback of the Redskins. The guy with a chest like the trunk of a tree. Mallory was my man. He was the guy I had to stop. We kicked off to the Redskins. I go tearing down the field all full of pep and vinegar, and somebody smacks me down. I got up off the ground, got all set, and somebody smacks me down again. We were tough, but the Skins were better and tough, too. We did all right, though, until after about 5 minutes, Pelini stepped back and booted the ball through the goalpost for a field goal and 3 points. I didn't like Mallory. Oh, he was good, but he kept sneering as if he was the only football player in the world. As we lined up, I couldn't help wondering what Hobie would have told me about him. She had spotted his weakness, whatever it was. But I still wanted this game to be all my own. Then Pelini did it again, dropped back and booted another field goal. That brought us to the half with the Skins leading us 6-0.
Now, don't let those 6 points worry you. We're playing them all even out there. And one touchdown will put us back in the ballgame. Let's get out there and get it, eh?
Okay?
Sure, Coach. That's fine. Thorgans, just a minute.
Yeah, Orson?
You okay?
Sure, why not?
You seem to be slowing up a little today. You feel all right?
Sure, I feel great. I'll get going this next half. Yeah, we just needed one touchdown to get us in this ball game. And funny enough, we got it. I smacked my head against that brick wall a dozen times. Then suddenly we complete a pass, and there it is, a touchdown, and we're back in the ball game. Then the Skins really went to work on us. They picked us up and they threw us down. Mallory came at me standing up. I felt like a sledgehammer was pounding at my ribs and somebody was bouncing a safe off my head.
Signals, 4, 8, 2, up.
What's the matter, Thorgans? I thought you were the All-American. You look pooped. Can't you take it, big boy?
Yeah. Just come on through here again.
Signals. 3, 21, 7, 5.
Where were you, Thorgan?
Come on again. I'll get you. I'll smear you, you punk.
Signals. 4, 3, 9, 8.
Sorry, Thorgan's old man.
All right, on your feet, Thorgan. Let's get going.
Hey, he's hurt his leg. Better get the doc.
Let me look at that leg. Now, you better get out of here, Thorgan.
I'm staying in. Rub it a little. Here. Help me up.
You ought to be out of here, Thorgans.
I'm staying in.
Okay, it's your funeral.
I went after Mallory on the next play, but they mousetrapped me. Mallory slipped through the hole and went all the way for a touchdown. The touchdown that clinched it for the Skins. On the next kickoff, I went for Mallory. I blasted into him without warning, and he didn't get up. He couldn't get up. He just lay there, and they brought out a stretcher for him. I heard the booze float down out of the stands. I'd got him all right. I'd used all my strength, all I had, to beat Don Mallory because he was a better football player than me. Did I feel proud of myself? I felt sick. This wasn't playing a sport. This was a cheap, dirty job. Suddenly, I knew what Hobie Baker meant about me telling her when I knew I was through. Well, anyway, the Skins got back at me. The last thing I remember was somebody picking up the Polo Grounds and hitting me over the head with it. Then I was sliding down a dark, winding tunnel. And then there was a flash of light, and the whole thing cleared up, and there was Hobie Baker standing at the foot of a hospital bed.
Hello. Hello, you great, big, beautiful dope.
Hello, Hobie.
Listen, gorgeous, you didn't have to get yourself half killed to show people you could take it. They discovered that a long time ago.
Nuts to the fans, sugar. I wanted to find out something about you and me. When you said football owed you something, did you mean a guy? I mean, a grown-up husband?
Yeah, Minnesota. Maybe that's just what I meant.
So, that's how I happened to be taking this job teaching and coaching at this high school out in Minnesota. Although Orson says I could last 2 or 3 years more in the big time. I don't know how I'll be as a coach. I don't pretend to be smart. But Hobie says she's cooked up the swellest little off-tackle play you ever saw.
What a day. What a day.
Say, Granny, you don't think any woman could possibly know that much about football, do you?
No comment, gentlemen. But that Stanley Frank story from Collier's, Second Wind. Maybe there are such women. Well, it's time for me to move on.
We'll see you next Saturday, Granny.
Yeah, do come in.
Yes, I'll be around with a fight story for you. I think you'll like it, too. See you then. So right. Long, Bill. Right. So long, Jack. So long, Henry.
Yes, join us at the Sportsman's Club again next Saturday when Grantland Rice will present another of his favorite sports stories. In today's story, which was dramatized for radio by Gerald Holland, Kermit Murdoch played Minnesota Thorgans, Joan Vitez was Hobie Baker, and Julian Noah was Coach Orson. Grantland Rice appeared in person, and George Crook was at the organ. Production, Garnet Garrison. This is the National Broadcasting Company.